Holy Spirit. Yes, and friend, we need your touch again. Yes, Holy Spirit. God, we welcome you in this house. We welcome you here. We know that you're here. We yield to you. We say yes to your will and to your way. God, as we get into your word this morning, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would cause our ears to hear and our eyes to see, God. Cause our hearts to conceive your word, God, that we may bear fruit a hundredfold. I stand before you, God, and I humble myself, and I ask that you use this frail vessel for your glory, God. That you take my tongue, sanctify it, and use it for your glory. I ask in the name of Jesus that you be glorified this morning as you recenter our lives and realign us, God, and bring us to the position you've wanted us to be in. We just ask that today you be glorified. Thank you for your word. Let your word come fresh in our hearts and help us this morning. We thank you and we honor you, God, and we bless you. Thank you for your grace and the anointing in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. 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 Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Come on, can I hear a big amen?
Amen.
All right, God is good. So I want to welcome all of you to this series. Today is part two. We're starting this series about the Holy Spirit just last week. And I want to encourage you that the best you can to be here for this series, about 5 weeks of teachings about the Holy Spirit. And I am trying to touch on every aspect that I think will bring meaning to our lives. And so last Sunday, when we talked about the Holy Spirit, my goal last Sunday was to help us understand that the Holy Spirit is a divine person. That was the question I was trying to answer. Who is the Holy Spirit? And we realized he's a divine person. He's not a force. He's not an it. He's not an energy. And, you know, as you hear this, you may be like, yeah, who else thinks that? But if you ever go to do any research of any kind in many Christian circles, there are places where the Holy Spirit is considered as a force, as an energy. And they'll stand on the pulpit and call him the force of God or the energy of God. And my goal last Sunday was to show us that he is God. And we went through all that to prove from Scripture. Number two, we also here on this slide, okay, so we know who the Holy Spirit is. Then the nature of the Holy Spirit is part two. That's what we are doing today. Next Sunday, we'll talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Okay, then the fourth series, the fourth part will be, what does it mean to be filled in the Holy Spirit? Now, this is going to be interesting because there's a lot of different concepts or different teachings out there, what it means to be filled in the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that. And then lastly, we'll talk about how to walk in the Spirit. Amen. So those are the five parts of this series that we're going to be talking about. Now, also, what I wanted you to see is that when we talked about the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit? So everybody knows he's a person, right? So he's not a force, he's a divine person. He is God, right? And why does that matter? Because in 2 Corinthians, which is our theme verse through this series, is in 2 Corinthians 13:14. It says what? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. A lot of us as Christians for the longest time, even the church at large, there is no argument or tension concerning the love of God or the grace of Jesus that brings us to salvation. The only thing we all get hang up on is the Holy Spirit. As the body of Christ, why is about the Holy Spirit? But it says the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So here's the thing. You may know the Father. You may know Jesus. But do you have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? Do you have the fellowship? The Bible says that we may be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And my goal from last Sunday was to magnify the Holy Spirit, blow him up, because in many Christian circles, or even in our Christian walk, we reduce the Holy Spirit to somebody who's almost non-existent. Because I want to ask how many people you hear talk about the Holy Spirit. Many times we talk about God the Father, which is not wrong. We talk about Jesus all the time. But how many times do you hear Christians talk about, reference the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us? We're supposed to have fellowship with him. But a lot of times, because we don't know much about him, we reduce him to almost non-existent because we're not connecting with him. But here's the thing. We got to have fellowship with him. He's got a big role to play in our lives, which we're going to talk about next Sunday. But in order to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we need to know his nature. Okay, just go through that very quick. We need to know his nature. So, the nature of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to talk about today. Now, I want you to interchange nature as well as characteristics. Nature, his way of being as the Holy Spirit. Characteristics. So when I talk about the nature, I've been talking about the same meaning, the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, of the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, how many of you have ever met somebody, or either at work or somewhere, you meet them, and as soon as you meet them, you connect. Your character, your nature just connects. And you're like, man, it's like we've known each other for years, but I just met him today. And how many of you have met somebody at work or somewhere, you work with them, you spend 8 hours with them, but you just don't connect. And you're like, he's never done anything wrong to me. But I just don't know. I have nothing against him, but him and I just don't click. Why? Because your natures are not merging. They don't click often. But then you find people whose nature just clicks. Now, a great marriage is two people that have had different natures, but then they learn how to adjust their nature to each other's preference. Does that make sense? So the two people come together and they realize we have different natures. And because our marriage is going to be great, we are willing to adjust our nature to fit each other. And so you have a good marriage. A divorced marriage, or there's no divorce marriage, sorry, but a divorced life is two people that were attracted to each other initially. They had feelings for each other initially. They couldn't help get each other off their mind. They were really into each other, and then they got together with their different natures, but yet none was willing to adjust their nature to fit each other. So hence we had a breakup. We had a divorce. Amen. Now, for some reasons, it's necessary to do that. But you got to understand that this
point of having natures adjusting to each other is so significant, because you can be attracted to each other, really into each other, but if you're not willing to adjust your nature to fit each other, then you're not going to have fellowship. So when the Bible talks about having the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, means I understand His nature. Now here is the thing, He's sovereign and I'm not sovereign, so the Holy Spirit will not adjust His nature to fit my preference. But when I know His nature, then I'm going to adjust my nature to fit His nature, because He's God and I am not. And if I'm going to have fellowship with Him, then I will have to know His nature, so can I adjust my own to fit His. So that's why it's important today that we talk about His nature. There are five things we're going to talk about today. Five characteristics we're going to talk about. Okay? And as we talk about this, I'm going to talk about three, and I'll let you guys come up with two, and I'm going to give you the verses in the Bible. One of the first nature of the Holy Spirit, a characteristic of the Holy Spirit, is He doesn't like to be caged in or boxed in or predicted. And we're going to see that in Scripture. The Holy Spirit doesn't like to be boxed in. Go back. He doesn't like. Here's the thing. If you've been around the church for a long time, there are many things that the Holy Spirit would do, and we began to put them in a box and say, that's the Holy Spirit. And so we've had so many different movements over time, because the Holy Spirit gets to a place like, no. Here's the thing. When I got saved, there was a time I remember where at Sunday, every time they were praying for people, there's always people falling, being slain. That happened all the time. It got to a point where the preachers would now say, if you don't fall, the Holy Spirit didn't touch you, or the Holy Spirit didn't come on you. And the preacher would say, I'm going to make sure you fall. Okay, so the preacher would put his hand on you, force it all the way, and say, Holy Spirit, he made sure you fall, because if you didn't fall, then the Holy Spirit wasn't there. So we began caging the Holy Spirit, boxing him, and say, the falling was the Holy Spirit, and if you didn't fall, then you didn't get touched with the Holy Spirit. So those are things that have been happening over time, and the Holy Spirit says, no, don't box me in. Then there were times where, you know, there was a time when the Holy Spirit would move and people would begin to laugh. And then we began to say, anytime you laugh, that was the Holy Spirit. So if you didn't laugh, then there was no Holy Spirit. So we began to equate the Holy Spirit to the things we saw that we couldn't justify in Scripture, but because there were experiences, and we say, well, we're going to box you in, Holy Spirit. And so I have seen, and I've participated in some of those, and I look back, I'm like, man, I was dumb, you know? I didn't know much, but that's what we did. We just boxed him in, and we said, that's how he operates. And we began to call that the Holy Spirit. There have been times in prayer meetings here. For instance, my meeting has had different experiences in prayer meetings. There have been times when high emotions have been overtaken. And I knew that's the Holy Spirit. But here's what she's done. She doesn't make it happen every time. She doesn't miss prayer meetings, but I can only think about three times. She doesn't force it. When it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it's okay. She will not call that, oh, today the Holy Spirit came upon me. And if the Holy Spirit didn't come on me. That's where we go in error. The Holy Spirit cannot be boxed into a particular experience, because He doesn't like to be boxed in and caged in. Does that make sense? There's one time, just last year, I think we were prayer meeting. This has never happened to me in a long time. But we're at prayer meeting, and I began to laugh. How many were here at our prayer meeting? You know, I just began to laugh, and I was overtaken, and I couldn't stop laughing. I can make it, I can stop. It just went crazy in me. I'm like, but that was an experience I had, but it's been only once as far as I remember. But the Holy Spirit can choose how to flow as He wants. You see, they come to Jesus Because Jesus was laying hands on people. They're like, Jesus, I'm blind. Can you lay hands on me and make me whole? Jesus like, don't box me in. I don't have to lay hands on you. I'm going to spit on the ground, put some mat on your eyes, and that's how I'm going to heal you.
Yeah.
They were shocked because Jesus said, I don't have to do it the way you expect me to do it because I am God and you're not.
Amen.
You know, in the beginning, God spoke. He would speak through a cloud. One time he spoke through a burning bush. But he didn't make it like every time God had to speak, he would speak through a burning bush. Jesus describing the Holy Spirit, this is what he said in John chapter 3, verse 8. This is what he said. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. He's saying the Holy Spirit is like a wind. He is like a wind and he blows wherever he wishes. You don't know where. So he's unpredictable. So if I'm going to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, I need to realize that I cannot box him in. I cannot cage him in. I cannot use things to describe who he is because he's unpredictable. Jesus said, you do not know. He's like the wind. The wind, you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. You ever seen, even on airports, they have this orange cone things because they need to know where the wind is coming. Nobody knows. They're like, we're going to use some of these orange cones and up in the air, and they got to give them sense of direction where he's coming from. You see, you might have different experiences with the Holy Spirit. But whatever the experience is, do not think that's how it's always going to happen.
Amen.
Don't box him in. Don't cage him in. You see, look in the Bible. Elijah, you can find this in your Bible, but Elijah is in a cliff and he's worried. And God wants to give him an experience. And there's fire. And the Bible says God wasn't in it. There was an explosion and God wasn't in. There was fireworks and God wasn't in. There was an earthquake and God wasn't in. And then there was a quietness. And then that was where God was. In the stillness of the moment, that's where God was. But when you look through the Bible, there's been God show up in fire. God showed up in explosion. God showed up in loud voices. But God has also showed up in stillness and quietness. Why? Because God is saying, I am God. I'm sovereign. Don't cage me. Don't box me. Let me be God. Amen.
Amen.
Number two. Here's the Holy Spirit likes it when you acknowledge your weakness. We know that very well. That, thank God, you're blessed. Thank God, you got money in the bank. Thank God you have a car that can run. Thank God you have a job. Thank God you have doctors. Thank God you got the help you got. But if you get to a place in your life that you say, God, I thank you for the blessings that I have, but I know these are all meaningless without you.
Yes.
Thank God for the car, but you mean more to me than the car. You mean more to me than the house. You mean more than... When you have this sense of dependence on God, where you say, God, I thank you for the job, but it's not everything to me. You mean more to me. When you have that sense of knowing you're inadequate, that's what will drive you to your knees and keep you engaged to have the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Behind every prayerlessness in our lives, it's not only a devil, it's a sense of adequacy that we have. Behind every prayerlessness, there is something underlying there that tells you it is good. It is good. You haven't had any bad news from the doctor.
Well,
the bank account still looks good. The cost to run, the job is secure. There is a sense of adequacy that may lead us to a place of prayerlessness. But if you maintain that in you, like, you know what? I'm inadequate. I am weak. My job, as sound as secure it is not secure. As money sounds like God. It's not. I want to maintain a sense of dependence on God because I am weak. I cannot do without Him. When you have that attitude, the Holy Spirit embraces that. Now, the Holy Spirit is turned off whenever we think we got it. So you cannot have fellowship with the Holy Spirit if inside of you there is this underlying thing saying, it's all good. His nature is repelled. It's turned off. You know, like we talked about people. You know there are people that turn you off? But what they do? You're like, when he does that, he turns me off. So when I have this sense of, I got it. It's all good. I got it. I got this figured out. I can do this. It turns off the Holy Spirit. What turns on the Holy Spirit is when I have a sense of saying, I'm inadequate. I don't have it all together. I can't fit it together. I can't figure it out together. It looks good, but I need you. It looks fine, but I need you. I feel good, but I need you. The doctor said I'm cool, but I still need you. The doctor said my heart is good, but I still need you. When you have that sense of saying, no matter how good it is, I'm still inadequate without him, that's what turns on the Holy Spirit, when you have that sense of saying, I need you. Amen. Check this verse out. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best. I love that. My power works best in weakness. God's power doesn't work best in our arrogance, or in our pride, or in our sense of like, it's all good. God's power works best when we have this attitude that says, I can't without him. I can't live without him. My attitude. He says, so now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses. You know, that's Bible right there. You know, today we don't boast in our weaknesses. The whole reason why we have Facebook is to boast in our pride. That's all it's all. You know, I want to boast where I'm eating. I want to boast where I'm going. I want to boast what I'm doing. Nobody puts on Facebook that, you know, I didn't have makeup on. This is how I look. You know, nobody does that. Nobody says, well, I'm tired. You know, we all boast. If you're eating Top Ramen, you're not going to put that on Facebook. Because we boast in our strength. We boast in that. But the Christian thing to do is like, I'm going to boast in my weakness. I'm going to boast in my weakness. God, I can't do without you. I cannot survive this day without you. I cannot survive this day without you. My day is not complete without you. I don't want to step out of this house without you. I don't want to start my day without you. I can't do this without you. I know I have a car that is 2 years old, but I still need you. You know, this attitude that you have inside of you, when you boast in your weakness, it turns on the Holy Spirit. Yes. We want to have fellowship with him. We got to know his nature.
Yes.
I love this scripture. It's Zechariah 4:6. It says, to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by what? Not by what? Not by might. Thank God for might, but it's not by might. Nor by power. Thank God you got some power. But it's not by power.
Amen.
By what? So I have to believe that. I have to understand that you know what? It's not going to be power. It's not going to be might. It's not going to be connections. It's not going to be my looks. It's not going to be anything.
Well,
it's going to be his spirit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I want to have fellowship with him. I have to default to that. So I'm going to depend on him. This is how Jesus dealt with it. And Jesus told us the same things. Friends, let me tell you something. Don't wait to find out that doctors can't fix it. Don't wait to find out that your money can't fix it. Don't wait to find out that your job has got your back. and find out it actually doesn't have your back. Let's have this attitude. I got money, but money ended. I got a job, but it ended. I got this, but it ended. It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. I'm depending on you. So no matter how much God blesses you, your heart is always facing north towards Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. Jesus was very important about this. He told his church in the beginning in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, but you receive power. See, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You know the habits that you just can't break on your own. The attitudes you can't just change on your own. The health issues that doctors may not be able to figure out. There's some things that are not physical. They're spiritual. There's some things in your life that it only takes the power of the Holy Spirit, letting Him work through you to bring that victory in your life, because there's some things that nothing will fix but His power. Because it's not by might nor by power, but Jesus said, you are mine and you're about to go out. Please wait until the Holy Spirit comes on you and comes in you. And when He does, He'll bring forth power. Power to change you from the inside out. Power to help you break the things you want to break in your life. Amen. Here's how the power comes. When I have decided, I desperately need you, God.
Yes.
I need you.
Yes.
And that's how I will roll in my life, that I need you. Okay, number three. Here's what turns on the Holy Spirit. He likes it when you're all in. When you go all in, when you say, I'm all here, Holy Spirit.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit does not play hide and seek with us. He's not trying to avoid us. He's not trying to hide from us. He's not trying to say, hey, you know. The Holy Spirit is all here for us. So God has given us the whole Holy Spirit. We have Him in His fullness.
Yeah.
The question I ask you to think about, I have access to all of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
But does He have access to all of me? Part of our Christian growth is allowing Him to have more of us. Not more of Him, but more of us. Because He's all available. God didn't give us half the Holy Spirit. He didn't give us part of the Holy Spirit. He gave us all. And we're the ones that give Him a little bit. Part of your spiritual growth is how much you're giving of yourself to Him. The Holy Spirit, the reason why He's all into you is because He knows how precious you are to God. He knows how Jesus died for you. There are people in my life that I love dearly. And I'll give anything but one thing. The people I love so much, but I can never give my son to die for them.
That's right.
I love him, but no. No, my son ain't dying for you. No. I love you, but he's not. The Holy Spirit knows how much valuable you are. That God gave His son for you to die for you. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. The Holy Spirit understands that love. And that's why He's here. That's why He's available for us. That's why He says, I'm all here for you. And He's inviting us to give ourselves to Him. He wants us to be all in. This is what God said in Jeremiah 24 verse 7. He says, I'll give them a heart to know that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I'll be their God. For they shall return to me with their whole heart. When I turn to God, when I'm saying I'm all in, it turns Him on.
You know, in years of just watching football or even professional sports, here's something I noticed. You see, when this player is on this team, say for instance, he's on the Seahawks team, when they get time with the media, guess what they say? They say, hey, these are my brothers in the locker room, right? These are my people. We're all together. We play to win. We play for this coach. They buy into the playbook. They buy into the philosophy. They buy into everything. And then the year comes around and they get what? Traded. Right? And they go to another team. But once they go to another team, guess what they do? They forget everything about the other team. So if they went to the Kansas Chiefs, now they're like, I'm all about the Chiefs. Forget the Seahawks. I'm all about the Chiefs. So here are my new brothers. This is my new team. This is my new playbook. This is my new philosophy. Yes, thank God what we did, but I'm no longer that. Now they go all in. So if the Chiefs have to play the Seahawks, he doesn't come back and say, oh no, I'm not going to play hard against my old brothers. I'm not going to score touchdowns against my old coach. They don't do that. Because now that they've been transitioned, they're all in. They forget everything about the past. They have a new playbook. They have a new philosophy. They have new brothers in the locker room. They play together. And that they're all in. And I want you to think about this way. When you and I, before we got saved, we had an old playbook. We had an old coach. We had an old brotherhood. We had people we played with, an old book we played from, people we gossiped with, got drunk together, gossiped together, did crack together, smoked weed together, buck-batted together. We did things together from an old playbook. Now that we get translated into the light, when we come into Jesus, here is a problem with some of us. We come to Jesus, but we still don't want to fan the old coach. We don't want to play against him. We still bring plays from the old playbook into the new playbook. And we don't understand we have a new coach. He's the Holy Spirit. And we don't understand we're on Team Jesus, where the old is gone, where everything becomes new. Now we have new brothers, not the brothers we got drunk with, not the brothers we got high with, but the brothers we fellowship with in the Word, in the knowledge of Christ. And if what if we as a church, we said, as a body of Christ said, we're going to go all in. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not who I used to be. I'm going to go forward in Him. This is what I need to go all in. Amen. What is bothering us as a church at large, because our churches today are full of believers who are not all in. And I'm not talking about all in church. I'm talking all in Jesus.
Yes.
And that's why the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is not experienced. Because the Holy Spirit will come close to you, will be turned on when He sees your heart, you're all in. And then you can have fellowship. Because when we talk about fellowship of the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about a friend.
That's it.
Yes.
Somebody who comes alongside you.
Yes.
Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Monday night. And he's there when you sleep. He's there when you wake up. He's there Tuesday morning. He's there when somebody honks at you for no reason in traffic.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, somebody didn't get that, but that's one thing that really bothers me. When I'm driving and people honk at me, it just gets under my skin. And I can hear the Holy Spirit helping me to just keep my hands together and just keep my tongue tight. Now, when people cut me off, it doesn't bother me as much. But honk at me, that bothers me. Especially if there's no reason for honking at me. So I don't know what bothers you, but whatever bothers you, you have a friend. His name is the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes, yes.
Talk about having fellowship with him to guide you and direct you every single day as you go through life. And today, I was to talk about things that turn him on and things that turn him off. But if I understand this, then I'm going to be all in. I'm going to play on this. You see, the Holy Spirit is your new coach to coach you through life. You see, you can't talk creation and not talk about God. You can't talk about salvation and not talk about Jesus. But you can't talk about redemption and not talk about the Holy Spirit. And I just got deeper in theology for some of you. But here's what happened. When Jesus came here, he had to be prepared for life. The Bible says he had to go into the wilderness. Check this, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. So the Holy Spirit did this. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. For what? To be prepared, to be coached. Because Jesus' battle was about to start. Jesus' battle wasn't only what happened on the cross. Jesus' battle is what happened the moment he came out of that wilderness. It was a 3.5 years. That was all battle. That was all Super Bowl for Jesus. The cross was only like 2 minutes, fourth quarter. But the battle had been going on. And when the devil thought there was no comeback, then was the resurrection, because the Holy Spirit wasn't done yet. But the Holy Spirit took him into the wilderness to coach him, to prepare him. He led him there. So if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, why don't I? If Jesus needed to be coached by the Holy Spirit, why don't I yield to him? If Jesus was all in, because when Jesus was required to go, he didn't say, Jesus, he didn't say, Holy Spirit, but you mean I want to spend 40 days seeing my brother? He didn't say, oh, you mean I want to spend 40 days there without seeing my people? He was all in, because that's what the Holy Spirit asked of him. I want to encourage you today that if there's something inside of you that says, really, I want the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, then you got to be all in. He's got to see that you're all in. Because if you're all in your heart with him, that turns him on. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Here's a question you need to ask yourself that I ask myself. How can the Holy Spirit coach me if I'm not all in? Amen. There are things I can't change on my own. There are things that are deep inside. Now, let me tell you, we all have that. You know, we all come here on Sunday, and we all can say the right words.
Yes.
Can I get an amen?
Yes.
We can all carry the right attitude.
Yes.
We can all be nice. We can all be Christians. But we all know there are things deep inside of us that we're struggling with that we can't let go. And it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
To help us with those things.
Come on.
Now you're like, I don't know those things. Well, ask people that share with you. I'll tell you what those things are. But you can't change them without the power of the Holy Spirit, without his help. And so this is why we got to know his nature and then begin this path of saying, I want to walk with the Spirit. I want him to help me. Jesus gave him to me. God gave him to me. I want him to coach me through my battles, so that I can have victory in my life. Can I get an amen?
Yes.
All right. So I gave you three. I want you to come up with number 4 and number 5. On your table, you're going to open those verses. And you're going to come up with the 4 characteristic of the Holy Spirit that turns him on, that helps him to walk with us. And then you're going to read those verses and come up with what he does to help us. So I'm going to have Dion and all of you, if you can join Sister Viola and Michael and Hugh, join Sister Viola. These three tables over here. Yeah, these three tables give us the 4th characteristic that you find out. And these three tables over here
gave us the fifth one. Okay, can you take some time and break that down and read those verses? And
our characteristic, is just that he's helping us through his power to speak differently, because there's so much power in our tongue. We can create or destroy with our tongue.
Right.
You know, you can devastate a person with just the words you say.
Yeah.
Or you can build them up and make them a champion based on what you say. And so it's almost like he's teaching us a foreign language.
Yeah.
The way we speak when we're unsaved is not the language of God.
Right.
And then when we got down to the part about let no bitterness, wrath, and anger, and that was just like the characteristic of just a realization at this table that there's no way we can take care of those
on our own. That's right.
It's like a task that only he can coach us through.
That's right. That's good. Thank you. That's good. All right. This table over here.
So we were discussing at our table. It was interesting that when I mentioned do not grieve the Holy Spirit, that he can feel certain things.
Yes.
And if he can feel certain things, I mean, it goes along with what you've been teaching, that he is a person. And
right.
He feels. When we grieve, it's helping us because as we find out how we grieve the Holy Spirit through bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slandering,
yeah.
Evil. And it goes on to say, those are the things that are going to grieve the
yeah.
Holy Spirit.
Right.
Which is going to make him very limited or absent from our life in general.
Right.
When it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgive each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven us. If we walk in that,
yeah.
We're almost automatically inviting them into our life.
Yes.
But if we walk in an attitude of, you did me wrong, I don't like you today.
Yeah.
If we have that type of attitude on a basic level,
yeah.
We are going to make the Holy Spirit feel a certain way of grieving, which doesn't look like we're giving them permission to really work so much into our life to change us
yes.
the way that we're supposed to be changed in our identity in Christ.
Very good. Very good, very good. Thank you. Anyone at that table? So we got from Tom's table how he helps us with our words, how he helps us to have a clean tongue, right? And the things to get away from malice, slander, we can't just bitterness and rage. We can't just do that on our own. We need his help. And Jesse talked about how we're not to grieve him, and we grieve him by doing those things. And he's a person. That's why he feels the grievance. Okay? All right.
Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I think that that's really important. And
yeah.
Especially, and then also for number 29, or verse 29, let no corrupt communication come out, proceed out of your mouth. Those are all very important because, you know, the power of life and death is in the tongue.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you have to really be mindful about what you put in your mouth. Yeah.
Right.
That's the Holy Spirit to be mindful of what comes out of your mouth.
Yes.
So we can all definitely adjust.
Good. So do we all agree from those verses, especially this time, you guys didn't read that. Now, do you all agree that the Holy Spirit is turned on with a clean tongue? If I speak foul language, which is corrupt talk, it turns him off. When are we tempted to say foul words? When we're angry. Rage. Right? When you're angry, really angry, you're going to speak foul words. But in order not to speak foul, say, put away anger, rage. Because if you don't put that away, you're going to have corrupt talk come out of you. And then it's going to turn me off. Does that make sense? So I don't want to turn off the Holy Spirit. I don't want to turn him off. Because I don't want to turn him off
I don't want corrupt talk or thought. Now, what do we do in a culture where even your PG-13 movies have foul words? What do you do in a culture where everybody that you work with, even the managers, speak foul words? Okay, so here's what you need to understand. Just because it's normal in the world, today there are Christians that think speaking foul words is normal. There are Christians who speak foul language on their Facebook because they're mad, they're upset. But they go to church, you know what I'm saying? When you, just because you're angry doesn't give you a license to speak foul words. Because they turn him off. The Bible says, do not use foul or abusive language. So even when you're mad and angry at somebody, do not call them names other than the names on their birth certificate. We're just talking about how not to turn off the Holy Spirit. Are we not talking about? So here's what you need to understand. You want to walk with the Spirit, have fellowship. Don't turn him off. Watch what you say, because corrupt talk will turn him off. Now, let me, before we move on, the word grief is only used where love is.
All right, now.
Grace can grieve Tom, because Tom loves Grace. But a stranger cannot grieve Tom, because Tom may not have love for that stranger. So when the Bible says do not grieve the Holy Spirit, it's because the Holy Spirit loves us. Grief is only used where love exists. And where there's no love, there's no grief. So when it says do not grieve, because there's love existent in the first place. All right? Okay, what you got? Let's move on.
So what did we decide number four?
Number four is he's turned off by corrupt, foul language. So he likes a clean tongue. Number four, correct? If I want to have the Holy Spirit, he likes a clean tongue.
Meditate on the word.
Clean tongue. Clean tongue. Clean tongue. Not foul, not abusive, no F-bombs, just clean tongue. Keep it real. Keep it real. You know, it's not cool. I don't care if you're mad. The Holy Spirit says, don't throw F-bombs because you're mad. You know, don't call people names. Just, he's turned off by that. All right. Okay. Okay, who's got a mic? Janine? Okay. What's number five? What did you guys come up with?
Well, I was talking about don't grieve the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So, I believe one of the ways to not grieve the Holy Spirit is to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And the way, I mean, I apply that is to do the complete opposite of what my flesh wants to do at a given moment.
Yeah.
When somebody really is kind of messing up at work, I'm like, oh, Lord, they shouldn't do that. Because, you know,
yeah,
they have no idea that I'm the child of God.
Yeah.
Mess with me. So it just do the complete opposite.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I have a little example. I think I've shared it before, but Tom and I were at a Christian concert. We got there so early because I wanted great seats, and these Christians were lying in front of us, kept inviting their friends into the line to cut the line, and I was seething, you know. And I took Tom's hand and I said, "Will you do this with me?" And he goes, "What?" And I took his hand and we walked.
Yeah.
To the back.
That's cool.
Because I just wanted to punch the devil in the face, because this concert was going to be this enormous time, you know. And I was so mad.
Yeah.
And so I thought, this will kill me. This will kill my flesh.
That's good.
You know?
That's good.
And God's so faithful, because we had great seats. You know.
Yeah.
It was really cool. So if you, I mean, just to punch the devil right in the face, like, oh yeah, devil, then watch this.
Yeah. That's good.
You know, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit was giving me a nod. Like,
that's good.
You know?
So your conclusion there is to walk in love.
Yeah.
Awesome.
To do the complete opposite.
Do the complete opposite.
You know when the devil screws you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To do the complete opposite. You know, buy that person lunch that can't stand you at work. I mean, watch what happens.
Yeah.
The devil doesn't even know.
Yeah, walk in love, yeah.
Right out of
that's good, that's good. That's good. Good, thank you. All right. Scott, go ahead.
So, from what I got from the couple of scriptures that were here, it kind of was, what I got out of it is that walk with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Walk side by side with him, and so let him be there on your hip, pretty much.
Yeah.
One verse says, don't quench the Spirit.
Yes.
And so what I took that as is don't push him off. Like, don't put him off to the side.
Yes.
It says that the Holy Spirit provides kindness, love, peace, grace, forgiveness, all the stuff.
Yes.
So what it says to me is that if you, he walks with you at all times. And as long as you're aware of him being there and you speak life, like you don't have the bad tongue and all that stuff, as long as you have him, what's the word? Equipped, I guess,
yeah,
to be able to be there for you,
okay,
then all things that you do will be good. And he prepares you to be in line with what God is asking.
Right.
So he's there to direct you.
That's
so
good.
So you have to accept him and let him be all of your business.
Okay. Accept him in all your business.
Okay.
So, okay, good, good. Good, 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 good word. Good word. Okay. The fruit of the Spirit. So the conclusion with that is the Holy Spirit is all about love.
Yes.
Is all about love. So if you walk in love, he's there.
Yeah.
If I walk away from the way of love, then it turns him off. But if I walk in love, he's going to be all in. All right? So we're going to work on this, guys. By the end of this series, we're going to be closer, have intimacy, have fellowship. You have a lot of testimony because you experience the Holy Spirit in new ways in your life. Amen? All right.